So translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. One who considers his visible body, which is a product of the three modes of nature, to be independent of the soul, is unaware of the basis of existence, and therefore he is a rascal. Those who are learned have rejected this conclusion because one can understand through full discussion that with no basis in soul, the visible body and senses would be insubstantial. Nonetheless, although his conclusion has been rejected, a foolish person considers it a reality. So you can just meet someone on the street and say, you're a rascal, you're a foolish person, because you don't know that. And we can say, well, Prabhupada did this. Why not? What do you say? All right, so let's listen to the purports or the purport of the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Without the basic principle of soul, the body cannot be produced. So-called scientists have tried in many ways to produce a living body in their chemical laboratories, but no one has been able to do it because unless the spirit soul is present, a body cannot be prepared from material elements. Since scientists are now enamored of theories about chemical composition of the body, we have challenged many scientists to make even a small egg. The chemicals in eggs can be found very easily. There is a white substance and a yellow substance covered by a shell, and modern scientists should very easily be able to duplicate all this. But even if they were to prepare such an egg and put it in an incubator, this man-made chemical egg will not produce a chicken. The soul must be added because there is no question of a chemical combination for life. Those who think that life can exist without the soul have therefore been described here as a Buddha, foolish rascals. Again, there are those who reject the body, regarding it as insubstantial. They are of the same category of fools. One can neither reject the body nor accept it as substantial. The substance is the supreme personality of Godhead, and both the body and the soul are energies of the supreme Godhead, are described by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 4 to 5. Bhumi apo nalavayu, kammano buddhi, evacha, ahankara ityami, bina prakriti, astuda. Aparanya itastvanyam, prakriti vidime param. Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho Yayadam Dharate Jagat. At water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together these eight comprise my separated material energies. But besides this inferior nature, O mighty Amdarjuna, there is a superior energy of mind which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and sustaining the universe. The body, therefore, has a relationship with the Supreme Personality of God, just as the soul does. Since both of them are energies of the Lord, neither of them is false because they come from the reality. One who does not know this secret of life is described as a Buddha. According to the Vedic injunctions, Datmyam idam sarvam, sarvam kalu idam brahma. Everything is the supreme Brahman. Therefore, both the body and the soul are Brahman, since matter and spirit emanate from Brahman. Not knowing the conclusions of the Vedas, some people accept the material nature as substance and others accept the spirit soul as substance. But actually Brahman is the substance. Brahman is the cause of all causes, the ingredients and the immediate cause of this manifested material world are Brahman. And we cannot make the ingredients of this world independent of Brahman. Furthermore, since the ingredients and the immediate cause of this material manifestation are Brahman, both of them are truth, satya. There is no validity to the expression Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. The world is not false. Gyanis reject this world and foolish persons accept this world as reality. And in this way, they are both misguided. Although the body is not as important as the soul, we cannot say that it is false. Yet, the body is temporary, and only foolish materialistic persons who do not have full knowledge of the soul regard a temporary body as reality and engage in decorating this body. Both of these pitfalls, rejection of the body as false and acceptance of the body as all in all, can be avoided when one is fully situated in Krishna consciousness. If we regard this world as false, we fall into the category of asuras, who say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahu anishwaram. As described in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this is the conclusion of demons. Upagyanasamirandasya gyanajanansalakaya sakshur militam yenatasmai sri gurubhen maha sucetanya manobhistam stavfetam yenabhutale swayam rupam kadamayam dadatisa padantikam vandase krishna chaitanya anichananda sahodito agodhadhaya puspavantu chetu chandu tamantu Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadarara Sivasali Sri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pankim Lagatam Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gaur Dinatari Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhishtaya Bhutale Semad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Etanam Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gauravani Pacharine Nevisasya Swanya Bhadi Pachatata Sutai Vancha Kalpatari Vyaja Kripa Sambhya Vyaja Paditanam Bhavanandiyo Vashnu Vibhyo. So, we find in the purport here the two verses that make very significant reference from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, 4 to 5. In those two verses, Lord Krishna makes Arjuna to understand that this body or the material energy is not the be all and end all. He said, Aparanya, it is tramya. Prakritim vidimeparam jiva bhuta mahabaho yayadam dayate yoga. That beyond this being a prakriti, beyond these separated elements, which the conditioned soul has made it the be all and end all due to identity crisis or ignorance of our real identity as spirit souls. We have accepted this body to be our object of worship. There's nothing wrong in making the body of object of worship, because within the body, it's also the super soul is there. So if you worship the body, with understanding that, you know, we're worshiping the super soul within that body, that's okay. But to simply waste the whole of the human efforts to generate different type of theories and make different type of adjustments here and there, just to pamper the body for the sake of pampering it, without even being used in the service of the Lord, then basically we fall into the category of rascals. And therefore, Lord Krishna clearly mentioned that beyond this eight separated energies, Bhumi, Apad, Apo, Nala, Vayu, Kam, Mana, Buddhi, Ahankar. Beyond these eight separated energies, eight elements, eight material elements, there is the superior energy, which consists of the jiva. And Krishna goes beyond that and says the jiva basically is utilizing the opportunity that he has to struggle so much, but to do what? To sustain the activity, sustain the universe. So in a sense, we have to be active to be able to make things going. But the jiva needs to understand the mission statement of Lord Krishna, his goals and his vision of this material universe. If the jiva understands that perfectly well, then he will come to the conclusion that, yeah, although this body is very temporary, it's ephemeral, and it's not false, this body could actually be meaningfully engaged. If meaningfully engaged in the service of the Lord, the attainment of perfection or fulfilling the mission of Lord Krishna for giving us this material body will be upheld. But, you know, a number of people on the planet, they are very far away from that. Very, very far away. So, the scientists have their own ideas. They want to broach Krishna's side, or they've already done that. But again, when they're in difficulty, even the so-called scientists, when they're in difficulty, they pray to God. I remember Apollo 11 when I was a kid. They were making some exploration in the so-called moon. And they had some difficulty. And these are completely, you know, people who are vast to God, to the concept that there is God. When they were in difficulty, up there, they beg their colleagues on earth, please pray for us. They don't believe in God, but at the time of difficulty, just automatically you will realize that there is God. There is God. So this is the undeniable reality. We tend to deny it sometimes, but at a time of real difficulty, we resort to God. And important factor is that, like in the Bhagavatam, it's part of the Bhagavatam, is mentioned that a one who considers this body just made up of, you know, different elements to be the be all and end all, he is compared to a cow, gokar. One who goes to a holy place to just take bath in the Ganga and never resorts to consulting with the spiritualist there, is also compared to a cow. And to accept this body, this is a very serious statement. One who considers this visible body to be independent of the soul. Now, the body cannot be independent of a living force, because the body, people generally know the body is, you know, is temporary. Of course, people have the, some people have the conception that because this, you know, we live only once. That also is rooted in the idea that, you know, the body has no foundation such as soul. But if one comes to understand that the body has a foundation, what is sustaining the body is actually the spirit soul, then these old misconceptions are not there. So, majority of people on the planet have the opinion that we live once. And that is, you know, that gives them the conviction that because we live once, just do everything you can to explore and exploit this body and exploit the material resources within the universe for the individual's personal enjoyment. Jai Sri Radha Gopala Nanda Ki Jai, Sri Sitaram Lakshmana Nama Guru Anitai Ki Jai. So Prabhupada very much stressed the followers of Prabhupada very much stressed in the Prabhupada about, you know, these theoretical, some modern scientific theoretical approach to life. So they're giving a very strong point here. And even the scientists, if they think that, okay, life is just a bunch of chemicals, an egg, you can get all of those substances anywhere. The white, the yellow, and the shell. The yellow substance, the white substance, and then the shell. You can get, you work out the chemical composition, and then you produce an egg. Yes, you can produce an egg, but the egg will not hatch a chicken. There will be no chicken will develop because there is no spirit soul. And in Bhagavatam, it gives a delineation about what really happens at the time of conception. First day, second day, third day, 1 week, second week, third week, fourth week, 1 month, second month, just a gradual, you know, structured development. I remember one time I went to give a talk at Columbia University in New York. And I mean, I just brought it back with them and I showed them, you know, that chapter given. So they were shocked. Because no scripture gives any graphic details, scientific graphic details about development. No scripture. It's only the Vedic literature. And so, people may make some argument based on how they want to control the world, how they want to rule the world. But even the elements that they are using to create their models, who created those elements? The earth, the water, fire, air, ether. Where are they coming from? This is where the scientists are not really probing very deeply. So, devotee knows the scientific basis of the body, or the life basis of the body, that without the soul. And I remember one time I was in New Jersey medical school, and then I had some surgery, and then I had some eye surgery, and so these professors who came to me, and I was just interviewing them about, what do you think? You've been working as doctors over the years. What do you think about this body, at the time of death, do you believe that this body just is made of chemicals? And all of them, about six or seven of them, all of them, they said, we have the experience. We've seen things going on. At the time of death, we have seen so many cases where we believe that something is missing. But then they said, you know, we can't talk this in the public. you lost your job. Oh, yeah. So, it's just a matter of time. And what we really do need to do is to push more to spread the message of Prabhupada through his books, through book distribution. Because these books are like time bombs. Prabhupada will compare his books to time bombs. At the appropriate time, they could create such a wonderful change in the individual who reads it, and even in society. So the good thing is, in a number of universities, these books are also used as, you know, not only as reference literature, but as standard books. I remember even at Nigeria's Premier University, I was speaking with one of the professors. He wants to set up a course on comparative oral literature, African and Vedic perspectives. And they just call different type of names, but it's just, you know, teaching pure, you know, Vaishnava Vedanta. Because the Vaishnava Vedanta and African oral literature, they're the same belief system. A belief in reincarnation, life to death, karma, everything. And so a number of people, when they read our books, they develop vested interest. I remember one time when I started, you know, publishing in academic journals, so I went to a department of classics at the University of Ibadan to submit a paper at one of the offices there. They have a multidisciplinary study journal. So normally they will have to send the professors when they go through your paper, they will send you a verdict whether the paper is accepted for publication or not. So I waited for like 2 or 3 months. I didn't hear anything from them. Then I went to that office to find out what is the verdict on the paper that I submitted. And the paper was on rape, sonic therapy to the rescue. So when I went to the office, this professor, immediately I went in, I announced my presence, and he said, "Oh, this Hare Krishna guy, we have published a work. Go and bring your required fee." I said, "Excuse me, sir. I didn't make any statement there that, you know, I'm from Hare Krishna." He said, "Oh, I know your stuff. I know your philosophy. Those are Prabhupada's language. Those are Prabhupada's, you know, philosophy. I've read all of Prabhupada's Bhagavatam." Yeah. He said, he used to go to the temple. Temple is just adjacent to the university. He used to go to a restaurant to eat. And as a classical studies professor, you know, they are into all of these, you know, classical stuffs. So he read all of Prabhupada's Bhagavatam set. So immediately he saw the philosophy I was presenting. He knew this guy is from Hare Krishna. So there are people who just are tune in to the message of Godhead. That, you know, we have to make it available. And therefore, the big book distribution team, they have to understand that everyone in this moment is supposed to be a preacher. We are missionaries. So we should not think, well, the preaching is meant for, you know, some few people living in the temple, or some people tag, you know, book distributors or hiring up people. But everyone is supposed to be helping in spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are missionaries. If you want to become a member of some church or some, you know, whatever, it's a different thing. Where you go once in a week to clap hands and, you know, socialize, and then you go, and then, yeah, when you come back on Friday, then, you know, you come and reveal all of the sins you committed the previous week to the priest. But we know like that. Every day we have in discussions about these ancient teachings. This is like an ancient medicine for modern man. And so the soul, the base of the soul, why all of this stuff about the soul? What has it got to do with, you know, changing the world? If people even want unity and peace without understanding that we are not this body, we are spirit, souls, part and parcel of Krishna. It is so difficult to create the so-called United Nations based on the concept of life being chemical composition of the body. It just doesn't fit in. So we have cursed jewel. We have assets to sell to the world to be able to change the world. So wherever we may be, whether in the office, you're traveling, at school, or whatever, we have to understand that we are committed to Prabhupada. When people get to the age of retirement, they relax at home to wait for death, to enjoy the last minute of their resources. But look at Prabhupada, the time that he was supposed to just be resting in Vrindavan, he came out of the comfort zone to face all of the difficulties he had to face, just to help us. So if we are compassionate, if we are appreciative, we should take up the banner to be able to help, because the knowledge of the soul is what is lacking in the world. Without knowledge of the soul, when people don't imbibe the culture of Atma Tattva, there is no question of peace in this world. No way. And so we have to understand that we are the instruments of a change in the world. And first, we have to imbibe this culture and live it. We have to imbibe this Atma Tattva culture and live it. Then that transformation in our lives, people will feel it, and it will affect others. You see, the whole details about the soul, knowledge of the soul, is to enable us to imbibe that culture and be able to have a behavior modification. Because anyone can really, there are so many philosophers. They speak the philosophy, they write the books on philosophy, but they don't live it. And therefore the knowledge does not really have a serious impact on people. So Prabhupada has given us what we needed to have to be able to change the world, and we should take that as a challenge. And like it's mentioned in this text, but considering this physical body to be the be all and end all, it just makes us rascals. And if there are so many rascals, how will that help to change the world? If the world is just a bunch of rascals, how will rascaldom create harmony and peace? And so, we need to be more useful to Prabhupada by helping to spread this message of Atma Tattva, this message of God. Any comments or questions?